Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. The headlines. The O'Doherty brothers say they and their employees will have to take a period to plan for the future after a fire badly damaged their coffin manufacturing business in Strabane yesterday. The Donegal restaurant owner has said any further delay to the full reopening of indoor dining would cause carnage for the restaurant industry. The Restaurant Association says it's willing to work day and night to ensure indoor dining can reopen alongside the resumption of international travel. The HSE's Director of Public Health for Donegal has confirmed the Delta variant of COVID has been detected in Donegal, and Gardaí have issued an appeal for information following a collision in Dunmore Carrigans yesterday evening. We'll have those stories in full as well as sport coming up in the next half an hour. Back now to our main story, and the O'Doherty brothers say they and their employees will have to take a period of time to plan for the future after a fire badly damaged their coffin manufacturing business on Railway Street in Strabane yesterday. While the cause is still being investigated, witnesses say the premises were struck by lightning just before the blaze broke out. Michaela Clark has more.
In a statement today, Manus and Charles O'Doherty say they are relieved that no one was hurt or injured in the fire. They say O'Doherty and Sons Limited has been a part of Railway Street and the fabric of Strabane since 1908, and it's a sad day for them, they say, to see so much of their family history destroyed by the fire. They praise the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service for attending the fire, for getting it under control, for saving neighbouring properties and for protecting the community. They also express gratitude to their employees, customers, suppliers, the public and local businesses for their many messages of support. They say they will take the next few days to reflect on what happened and plan for the future along with their dedicated and hard-working staff.
West Tyrone MLA Melissa McHugh says there is tremendous support for the O'Doherty brothers in Strabane and further afield.
They will receive a lot of support both from the community itself and from all the elected representatives in this area as well too. They'll be there to support the O'Dohertys. I've known the family for a long time. That's a blow, serious blow to the town of Strabane in terms not only of employment but of the wages and that the people there and there, and then they spend it locally as well too. So I'm sure everyone will rally to support the O'Dohertys as much as they can in this situation.
You want to see Stormont and the statutory agencies do what they can as well, and I'm sure there'll be very intense discussions taking place very quickly with regards to that.
Yes, and I reassured Manus when I talked to Manus yesterday. I reassured him of that as well, but I'm sure that even with our local elected representatives in this demand, they said this demand just the council, that they too will be putting that same pressure on all of the agencies to support the O'Dohertys and the community of Strabane to support them in a situation like this.
A Donegal restaurant owner has said any further delay to the full reopening of indoor dining and hospitality after July the 19th would cause carnage for the restaurant industry. Linda Boyle, the co-owner of the Fusion Food Truck and Restaurant in Killybegs, had planned to gather as part of a demonstration of restaurant owners in Dublin today as hospitality industry leaders met with government, but that planned protest has now been postponed until a later date. The Restaurants Association says a number of options were discussed today in their meeting with government with a view to try and reopen hospitality as soon as possible, and they will meet again with government on Thursday. Linda Boyle says there is no logic to the disparity in legislation between hotels and other areas within the hospitality industry.
I think, you know, it's nothing against hotels, nothing nicer than a lovely hotel, but, you know, there's no logic to why you can sit in a hotel for up to for a week if you want and sit inside and eat and drink to your heart's content, but yet you can't meet a friend inside in a coffee shop or for a coffee and a scone or go for a nice meal. Even if there's a time limit of an hour 45, so be it. But why can't you do that if you can do it in other establishments or sit in the cinema for 2.5 hours watching a movie? You know, we are safe and we are controlled, so I don't see why we're being left closed.
And if the government came back with their feedback on July 19th saying that hospitality reopening would push back another 2 weeks, perhaps another month even, with the Delta variant, what impact would that have on the hospitality sector? You know, would that be catastrophic?
It will be huge, huge, because, you know, the summer season is short, and that's when you try to get your money to tide you over in the winter time, put your wee pot aside to keep you going during the winter. And especially in rural areas, if you don't get that, it's going to be massive. There is going to be places that will never reopen, and the stress and anxiety that people are under already, I think it's just going to really create carnage.
The Restaurants Association says it's willing to work day and night to ensure indoor dining can reopen alongside the resumption of international travel. Restaurants across the country had to cancel outdoor dining bookings over the weekend due to the heavy rain. Casey O'Riordan has more.
Torrential rain in Sligo yesterday led the owner of Al Bon, Anthony Gray, to cancel the evening's bookings and send staff home.
Customers were getting wet, the food was getting wet, the waitresses were getting wet, the waiters were getting wet.
Anthony estimates the decision to close cost the business up to €2,000.
Trying to run a business watching a weather app for a restaurateur is just insane.
In the Midlands, the weather was not much better, leading to the brewery tap in Tullamore also being forced to cancel bookings across the weekend.
The rain that fell Saturday and Sunday was horrendous. Like, no matter what covering you had, you just couldn't keep people dry.
Owner Paul Bell is hopeful today's meeting of the hospitality representatives and government will bring positive news.
We really hope that between the different organisations and the government bodies today, that can come up with a solution that we can let people back indoors in 2 weeks' time.
The Restaurants Association says it's critical a plan to reopen indoor dining is in place a week before international travel resumes on July 19th to allow businesses to prepare to welcome international tourists.
The HSE's Director of Public Health for Donegal has confirmed that the Delta variant of COVID-19 has been detected in the county, with particular concern in border areas. He told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show that as soon as the variant was detected in the north, it was inevitable that it would spread to Donegal. He said that because we don't know if the true effects of long COVID, as well as the true risk of younger people being hospitalised as a result of COVID-19, the impact of letting the virus run rampant could still be massive despite the current vaccination levels.
We don't want people getting sick, and we don't know yet what are the implications of long COVID. So these people who think, it's a mild infection, let them get it, let them get over it, we just don't know what the long-term implications are. And also people are saying, well, the young people are getting it, it doesn't hurt them. And we have seen hospitalizations among very young age groups. So it still is and can be a serious infection.
Gardaí have issued an appeal for information following a road traffic collision at Dunmore Carrigans yesterday evening. The single vehicle collision occurred at approximately 7:05 p.m. The driver of the car, a woman in her 30s, and two passengers were taken to Alton Galvin Hospital to receive treatment for their injuries. The road has been closed to allow Garda forensic collision investigators to carry out a technical examination of the scene, but it is expected to open again soon. Gardaí are appealing to any witnesses and road users, particularly anyone who may have dashcam footage that were travelling in the Carrigans area between 6:55 and 7:05 p.m. yesterday, to come forward to Gardaí. Anyone with information is asked to contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 074 9167 100, the Garda Confidential Line on 1800 666 111 or any Garda Station. The Taoiseach says Ireland has contacted other European nations in an effort to secure more COVID vaccines. It was announced on Friday that Ireland has agreed a deal to buy 1 million unwanted doses from Romania. This comes amid hopes that almost all Irish adults could be fully vaccinated near the end of August. Micheál Martin says the government is looking at all options to get extra jabs.
Very sort of due diligence has to be undertaken, and that work is underway right now. I don't have a timeline or a date for the conclusion of that, but we reached agreement on Friday in principle, and we have been in touch with other European member states as well. So it really is picking up pace. I think we'll be close to 50% fully vaccinated by tomorrow. So we are making a lot of progress.
Meanwhile, 420 people have tested positive for coronavirus in the Northern Ireland in the last 24 hours. There have been no additional COVID-related deaths in the north. Just over 2,070,000 vaccines have been administered in Northern Ireland to date. Donegal Council is set to create a database of community defibrillators in the Leinster Northern Municipal District to raise public awareness of their locations, with the prospect of similar initiatives in other municipal districts. The plan was agreed on foot of a motion by Councillor Gary Doherty at the recent municipal district meeting, and will involve the council sharing the list on its website and social media, as well as displaying it in public buildings. Councillor Doherty says over the last number of years, community groups, sports clubs and businesses have been proactive and raised funds in order to have defibs for community use in the event of a medical emergency. Now it's time for the council to play its part in ensuring the life-saving potential of these initiatives is maximised, he says.
They're obviously a vital piece of life-saving equipment. We all seen that in stark terms a couple of weeks ago when we all witnessed the the horrible, horrific scenes of Christian Eriksen collapsing on the field of play in Euro 2020, and the defibrillator saved Christian Eriksen's life that day. And I think the community and voluntary groups and sporting groups throughout the county have to be applauded for the great work that they've done in fundraising to source the money to place defibs in towns and villages right throughout Donegal. And I think it's important, really, that the council work with these groups just to raise awareness.
At the very least, people should be aware where the closest defibrillator is to their place of work, to their place of residence, where they can get access to this piece of life-saving equipment quickly. And as you said, they're cropping up all over the county.
Yeah, and it's a great thing to see. It's probably a fairly recent thing that we're seeing, the defibs being located right throughout the county and in various different communities. And look, it's always a thing that we'd, obviously the first thing you need to do in the event of a medical emergency, such as someone collapsing as a result of cardiac arrest, is to call 999, obviously. But I think it's to raise awareness among the community is a good thing, so that people know exactly where defibs are, because obviously an event such as that is extremely stressful. And I think the more people know the locations of the defibs, the better it will be. As we all know, every second counts when it comes to situations like that.
People who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 can meet in homes from today with no limit on numbers. It's one of a number of restrictions that are being eased. 200 people are now allowed at outdoor events, while outdoor venues with a capacity of over 5,000 can let 500 people in. Also, 50 guests can now attend wedding receptions. Immunology professor Luke O'Neill says those who are fully vaccinated should still be responsible when meeting indoors.
Yeah, that's the guideline. If you're fully vaccinated, you can spend time with people who are also vaccinated indoors. Remember, maybe be a bit careful. Don't have loads of people in the room and all that kind of thing, you know. So again, a little bit of responsibility is good there.
It's just past 12 minutes past 5. We'll go to a quick ad break and sport is up next.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in-store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
We're coming up to 5:15. Now it's over to Oisin with the sport.
Thanks, Daniel. Paul McLoone has stepped away as the director of Finn Harps Football Club following a four-year term. McLoone spearheaded the new stadium project, which is to be ready for the 2024 season. The Finn Harps board are now about to undertake a major fundraising drive to take the project to the next stage. Paul said, "I am first and foremost a Harps fan. It is my intention to stay involved with the club, but in a different capacity, such as a supporters trust and with initiatives on the new stadium going forward." Two Sligo Rovers players have been ruled out of the first leg of the Europa Conference League first round match against Hafnir Frodish. The club have said one player tested positive for COVID-19 in a case traced outside the club, and that they have no contacts within the club. A second player continues to test negative for COVID, but was deemed a close contact of a case outside the club and is self-isolating this week. The first leg of the match is to be played in Iceland this coming Thursday. Tottenham's new director of football, Fabio Paratici, says the club's aim is to keep Harry Kane in North London. England captain has told Spurs he wants to leave in order to pursue silverware. Paratici says he hasn't spoke to Kane yet because it wouldn't be fair to bother the players who are busy on European duty. Rangers have completed the signing of midfielder John Lundstram. The 27-year-old left Sheffield United at the end of last season after rejecting a new contract at Bramall Lane. Lundstram's agreed a three-year deal with the Scottish Premiership champions. On the rugby front, South Africa's preparations for their upcoming three rugby union tests against the British and Irish Lions have been disrupted again as the whole squad is isolating after one of their players tested positive for COVID. Their training was suspended after it was confirmed that second row, Lud de Jager, tested positive for the virus. An official statement from the Springboks says that because of his close contact with a number of squad members, they all have to isolate. An update will be issued following a review by the South African Medical Advisory Group and further testing. Meanwhile, Ian Henderson will captain the Lions for the first test when they play the Sharks in Johannesburg on Wednesday. Bundiaki is also named in the starting 15. Tour captain Conor Murray and fellow Irish internationals Tag Furlong, Tag Byrne and Jack Conan are named in the replacements. Here on Highland later this evening, the DL Debate podcast with Brendan Devaney. We'll be talking all things Gaelic games and indeed talking football with former Dublin player Kieran Whelan, who of course is now a pundit with the National Broadcaster. Among the topics, Dublin goalkeeper Stephen Cluxton, if he's retired or if he's not.
Just judging Desi Farrell's comments yesterday, he kind of said, yeah, well, the door is still open. And that struck me as, well, Desi doesn't really know where he stands at this point. And I do think that clarity is needed to a certain degree, because for the likes of Evan Comerford and the team in its whole, and I think, you know, it is something that the media are going to still question Desi about and stuff like that.
And there's more from Kieran Whelan tonight on all things Gaelic Games football with Brendan on the DL Debate podcast, available online at highlandradio.com, and also will be aired just after the 7 o'clock news. His other guest tonight, Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News, talks Donegal GAA, and Frankie Dolan speaks about his new autobiography. Mike Quirk has resigned as Laois manager in the wake of a heavy Leinster Football Championship defeat to Westmeath yesterday. Quirk was critical of his players after the humiliating 320-120 loss, and in a statement admitted it was a difficult slog in his time in charge. They also lost four league games and were relegated this year. To tennis, Novak Djokovic has made it through to his 50th Grand Slam quarter-final this afternoon after easing past Christian Garin at Wimbledon, where it's manic Monday. The men's world number one beat the Chilean in straight sets 6-2, 6-4, 6-2. Elsewhere, the sixth seed, Alexander Zverev, trails in his last 16 encounter by a set to nil. And second seed, Daniil Medvedev, leads in his fixture by a set to nil. In the women's draw, 2018 champion Angelique Kieber leads against 17-year-old Coco Gauff by a set to nil. They're in a fourth round match on centre court at the moment. Earlier on, top seed Ashley Bartlett booked her place in the last eight with a very timely straight sets win over the French champion Barbara Kachukova of the Czech Republic. And in golf, Rory McIlroy says he needs to work hard on his game as he continues his preparations for the Open at Royal St George by playing the Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club this week. Preparations so far haven't gone according to plan for McIlroy, who failed to contend at the weekend's Irish Open, where he finished 17 shots behind the winner, Lucas Herbert, in a tie for 59th position. That's your sport for today, Daniel. We're next bulletins tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news, and Senator Eileen Flynn became the first member of the Traveller community to chair a session of Seanad Éireann this morning. Carlock of the Upper House, Senator Mark Daly, appointed Eileen Flynn as temporary chair a number of weeks ago. In this role, Senator Flynn will now step in for the Carlock in his absence, possessing most of the powers of the chair, although she cannot expel members. Senator Daly earlier handed over the reins to Senator Flynn to chair her first sitting of the Seanad.
On the next commencement matter, could I ask Senator Eileen Flynn, who I've appointed as a Cathaoirleach Sealadacht to Seanad Éireann, this morning is going to be the first morning that she is going to chair a session of Seanad Éireann, and as you know, her appointment by the Taoiseach as the first member of the travelling community to serve in the Oireachtas was hailed by Pavy Point and the National Women's Council as historic, or Father of the House. Senator Norris is talked about it as being a huge advance for Seanad Éireann and for the Oireachtas. So could I now ask Senator Eileen Flynn to chair a session of Seanad Éireann? Senator.
Firstly, I'd like to welcome Minister Thomas Bourne to the House.
Four Donegal animal welfare charities received funding last year from the government as part of the Animal Welfare Grant Programme for Registered Animal Charities. Animals in Need CLG in Donegal Town received €28,000. The ISPCA Donegal Animal Rehabilitation Centre in Remelton got €6,000. TNR Donegal in Buncrana received €1,000, and the Twin Towns Lost and Found Dogs charity in Killygordon received €11,000 in funding from the government scheme. Applications for the scheme have opened again for this year and are open to any registered charity that provides animal welfare services in the Republic of Ireland. More information on applying can be found on the government website. And 69 community leaders across 10 different organisations and hubs have completed a special community leadership project in a bid to maximise the potential for new initiatives and funding in Donegal. The project was funded under Peace 4 and run by Donegal ATB in partnership with Donegal Local Development Company and the Inishowen Development Partnership. They say this will build the capacity of community leaders and potential community leaders in areas that have suffered from the legacy of the Troubles. The project manager was Adult Education Officer Martina Needham.
It was an extremely important course, and the Peace 4 funding was key to its success, because it meant that we were able to focus entirely and have staff to focus entirely on this project.
A large number of community leaders from right across Donegal took part in this and came away armed with very useful and indeed crucial information.
Yes, 69 leaders, 69 participants from across 10 community hubs achieved accreditation through this project in social analysis and working with groups. And it is our hope, and I think the hope of most of these, that they will now continue and do some community development projects with Donegal ETB's Community Education Support Programme.
Now, often people will hear us on Highland speak about the local group has put an application for funding into the council, or an application for funding into LEADER, or an application for funding to the EU. It's not just a matter of writing a letter saying, listen, could you give us some money? This application process is a very, very precise science, and the sort of things covered in this course will be absolutely crucial in helping people make proper applications and ultimately, hopefully, successful applications.
You are so right. And not only when community groups are making applications, they have to provide the detail, to state their clear objectives, expected outcomes. When we submitted this application to Peace 4, we had to have a very detailed application form, and we had two partners side by side with us. So Donegal ETB did this application and project in partnership with Donegal Local Development Company and Inisho and Development Partnership.
And the weather, it'll be mostly cloudy this evening with sun, patchy outbreaks of rain. It'll be cloudy tonight with further outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Lowest temperatures tonight of 8 to 11 degrees. The headlines again. The O'Doherty brothers say they and their employees will take a period of time to plan for the future after a fire badly damaged their coffin manufacturing business in Strabane yesterday. While the cause of the blaze is still being investigated, witnesses say the premises was struck by lightning just before it ignited. The Donegal restaurant owner has said any further delay to the full reopening of indoor dining and hospitality after July the 19th would cause carnage for the restaurant industry. The HSE's Director of Public Health for Donegal has confirmed the Delta variant of COVID-19 has been detected in the county, with particular concern in border areas. And Gardaí have issued an appeal for information following a road traffic collision at Dunmore Carrigans yesterday evening. That's all from the Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back again with headlines at 6 o'clock, but until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Monday evening, July the 5th. The death has taken place of Paddy McLaughlin, 1 Brentwood Park, Foyle Springs, Derry, late of Owen Moore Care Home, formerly of Buncrana. Funeral leaving his home on Wednesday the 7th of July at 9:20 a.m. to Holy Family Church, Ballymacrorty, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, interment afterwards in the city cemetery. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic and current restrictions, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends only. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of wish to Dementia NI, 54 Elmwood Avenue, Belfast, BT9 6AZ. The death has taken place of Doris Gamble, Ballyboe, Kilmacrenan. Her funeral arrangements are to be confirmed later. The death has taken place at her home of Dimthna King, Ní Fearán, 18 Glenevish Hill, Strabane. Funeral leaving her home on Wednesday the 7th of July at 10:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, Lefoyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of William Billy Doran, Vey, Manor Cunningham. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Newton Cunningham. Due to ongoing HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Anyone wishing to leave a message of condolence can do so on the Charlie McLafferty Facebook page. The death has taken place of Lorraine Tate, number 2, The Power 3, Quinagh, Morderstown, Carlow, formerly of Glasgow, Scotland and Annagree. Lorraine's funeral mass will take place in the Holy Family Church, Askey, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by burial in St Mary's Cemetery, Carlow. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family and close friends, with a limit of 50 people permitted. It can be viewed live at askeyparish.ie. The death has taken place of William Sinnott, Crowan, Mallon. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m, going to St Patrick's Church, Auchlay, Mallon, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral is private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has taken place of Teresa Stewart, Cashel Moor, Ards, Creasla. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial will be private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of desire to the Alzheimer's Association, care of any family member or James Harkin, Funeral Director, Creasla. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcmmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Eileen Bonner, formerly Main Street, Dunlow. Her remains will repose overnight in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, from 7 p.m. tonight. Funeral mass there tomorrow morning at 11 a.m, with private cremation to follow. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the funeral will be private to family and close friends only, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. And the death has taken place of William Robinson, 7 Sion Road, Sion Mills. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 9:25 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in St. Mary's Cemetery, Melmount. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam.